WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. Harrisonburg and Winchester report the lowest rates of violent and property crimes in Virginia. Dominion releases its latest plan to cut carbon emissions and deal with climate change. And in his new book, a UVA researcher explains how science works and why so many people, from flat earthers to climate change deniers, don't trust it. This is the WMRA Daily for Friday, October 11th. The city of Harrisonburg had the lowest rates of violent crime and property crime in Virginia in 2018, along with Winchester. The Harrisonburg metro area saw less than 140 violent crime offenses per 100,000 residents. According to new data from the Federal Bureau of Investigation, Harrisonburg also saw the lowest property crime rate of 1,137 offenses per 100,000 residents. Overall, Virginia had the fourth lowest violent crime rate and the 13th lowest property crime rate in the country last year. From 2017 to 2018, the violent crime rate decreased by 3% and the property crime rate fell by 7% in the Commonwealth. Dominion Energy has just released its annual Sustainability and Corporate Responsibility Report. It acknowledges climate change is a reality and defines strategies to deal with it. Charles Fishburne from VPM News reports.
Dominion Energy Chairman, President, and CEO Tom Farrell says they are leading the country's transition to clean energy. He says they've built the country's fourth largest solar portfolio, are developing the nation's largest offshore wind farm, have joined with Smithfield Foods in the largest renewable natural gas program in history, and are extending the life of Virginia nuclear power plants. He says they have cut carbon dioxide emissions by 52% since 2005. And he says the major focus in 2020 will be addressing Governor Northam's executive order on clean energy, which sets a goal of 100% of the state's electricity from carbon-free sources by 2050. Charles Fishburne, WMRA News.
Governor Ralph Northam announced this week that he has restored civil rights to more than 22,000 felons who have completed their sentences. Those restored rights include voting, serving on a jury, and running for public office. That's more than double the number that Northam announced in February when the governor said he had restored rights to more than 10,000 felons. Former Governor Terry McAuliffe made restoring voting a hallmark of his term, restoring the rights of more than 170,000 felons. Virginia is one of just a few states that permanently limit the civil rights of people convicted of a felony. Only through a governor's intervention can those rights be restored. The number of Hispanic-owned businesses is increasing in Virginia, but it's still not keeping pace with population trends. Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope reports.
When officials at the Census Bureau conducted a recent survey of entrepreneurs, they found the number of Hispanic-owned businesses in Virginia was on the rise. During a three-year period, the number rose 13%. Michelle Zazur at the Virginia Hispanic Chamber of Commerce says immigrants often form an important part of the business community in Virginia.
Part of being a business owner is you take chances, and immigrants are more likely to start a business.
Virginia now has more than 6,000 Hispanic-owned businesses, according to the census. That's about 4% of the overall number, even though the Hispanic population in Virginia is about 10%. John Liss at Virginia New Majority says part of that is timing.
The relatively low proportion compared to the overall amount of small businesses in the state is also reflective of a relatively young and newer population that maybe been here 30 years or less.
One other thing complicating the situation for Hispanic-owned businesses, Liss adds, is the uncertainty surrounding temporary protected status, which is currently being challenged in the courts. I'm Michael Pope.
Finally today, from flat earthers to anti-vaxxers to those who deny the science of climate change, many people do not trust science or established facts. Dr. Jim Zimring, professor of pathology at the University of Virginia, explores in his new book how much people should trust what they read, learn, and observe in our natural world. WMRA's Chris Boros spoke with Dr. Zimring.
Dr. Jim Zimring, thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks for having me.
So your new book is What Science Is and How It Really Works. So my first question is going to be, what is science and how does it really work?
Well, there's 420 pages of poetry that await you that you can read about it. It's a complicated topic, and it's my view that a misunderstanding of how science works and the basis of the claims causes a lot of problems in the dialogue we have broadly about what we believe based upon evidence.
So what kind of problems then arises from that?
Scientific pursuits have made remarkable technological progress over the past 2-3 centuries. But those technologies sometimes lead people to believe that you can have, scientific proof. And things are never proven to an absolute certainty, even in science. And so when we get into societal debates about global warming or a great many other things, people will say, well, it hasn't been proven yet. And someone who waits for proof waits forever. But on the other side is the opinion that science is just another view of the world. And that may be true when it comes to issues of spirituality and the meaning of life. But when it comes to issues of natural phenomena, that's a dangerous view because science has developed specifically to ask those questions and is particularly suited to that.
Is there a time in history that we can look to where we got science wrong and it did great harm?
Over and over again. Of the attempts that science has made to predict and control nature or understand nature, how often does it get things right and how often does it get things wrong compared to other approaches? So if you compare the number of things science gets right and the number of things it gets wrong, it gets things wrong from time to time, but not very frequently. And so focusing just on the failures misses the overall fraction.
There's a term that you talk about in your book, the term deniers. What is the difference, though, between, let's say, a scientist who rejects a theory and then someone who just denies it?
Someone who looks at evidence and rejects a theory can be a reasonable scientist. Someone who looks at evidence and rejects a theory despite the evidence is a denier. Science is, if nothing, data-driven and evidence-driven, and ideas cannot come from your instinct or the strength of your conviction. They have to be tied to empirical observation. And that's the difference between someone who rejects a theory based on evidence and someone who is a denier, per se.
For someone like yourself, it must drive you crazy when you see things like the flat earthers and how a debate like that has actually become almost real in a weird way. Like, that must make you nuts.
Well, so the flat earthers are a very interesting example. If you accept their premises, then their conclusions are quite reasonable. But their premises get back to this issue that you brought up earlier on a denier. If you say to a flat earther, here are millennia of evidence that the earth is round, the flat earthers would say all of that data is made up. And that's why they're not scientists. That's why they're deniers. However, I need to say this is very important. Setting all that aside, after you discount all of that stuff, the way that the flat earthers are going about things is very scientific. They have created experiments where they're going to shine a light over a 3-mile body of water and see if the light is at the same height 3 miles away as it is here. And they said, well, if it's not the same height, then the earth must be curved. And they did the experiment. And what happened? The light was a different height. So they should reject the idea that the earth is flat. But instead of rejecting the idea that the earth is flat, they said, well, actually, the light was bent by the atmosphere or something else happened. I think it's a dangerous movement. Not that it would be dangerous if the earth were flat, but the idea that we can just discount all scientific knowledge as one big conspiracy.
But Jim, don't you know that space is fake?
Right. Well, so that's the regrettable reality, is that anything can be a conspiracy. I mean, for all I know, I'm not being interviewed on the radio with you right now. I'm having a very strange dream. Or I've been put in some sensory deprivation box in the matrix by people that are trying to manipulate me. So once you go down that path, you've kind of given up on any sort of real science because the evidence means nothing.
Dr. Jim Zimring is a professor of pathology at the University of Virginia in Charlottesville. His new book is What Science Is and How It Really Works. Dr. Zimring, thank you so much for your time today. I really enjoyed this.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you.
To learn more about Dr. Zimring and his new book, visit WMRA.org or the WMRA app. For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening and enjoy your Friday.